This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
We're going to take our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. This is what the scripture says. We've been talking about all in the family. We've been talking about family. We're going to continue that today. All in the family. Look what the Bible says. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones, and gave commandment concerning his bones. I looked at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22 says, and Joseph gave a commandment concerning his bones. Let me explain, folks. God promised Abraham the promised land. Abraham told his son Isaac. Isaac told Jacob. Jacob told Joseph. Joseph knew that one day we won't be in bondage, that we're going into a land that's going to be flowing with milk and honey. Now, Joseph gets to be 110 years old, and he knows about the promise of the promised land. And this is what he says. He said, I'm going to die in Genesis 15, 24. But he said, don't bury my bones here in Egypt. Don't bury my bones in Egypt. Take my bones into the promised land. So in Exodus 13, verse 19, when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, they loaded up his bones. They said, no, we're going to take Joseph's bones with us. He didn't want them to be buried in Egypt. He wanted them to be buried in the promised land. And then you get to Joshua 24, verse 32, and you find out something. Joshua buried Joseph in the promised land. And here's what rolled in my mind. If you know anything about the children of Israel, it was an 11-day journey from Egypt to the promised land. But they spent 40 years circling 285. And here's what rolled in my mind. Carrying those bones all the way. Carrying Joseph's bones all the way. And folks, let me share something. There's some bones that we want our children to take with us. There's some bones that you want your children to take with you. There's some bones that I want my daughter to take with me. I want you to carry some bones with you. I want you to take them with you all the way. See, I believe the first bone that we want our children to take and we want to impart into our children, we want them to carry with us, is we want to give them a wishbone. We should share some wishbones with our children. Now, this is probably very special to me because I was raised by a stepfather. I was raised by a stepfather who told me I was ignorant. He told me I was stupid. He told me I was dumb. He told me I would never amount to anything in life. That's what I experienced as a child. But do you realize, folks, by the time a child reaches 18 years of age, they're told 148,000 times, either no or you can't. Either no or you can't. See, I truly believe this. I believe what we ought to give our children is we ought to give our children some wishbones. We ought to impart vision into our children. We ought to impart dreams into our children. We ought to impart our children believing that through Christ they can do great things. We ought to impart wishbones into our children. Instead of saying so much you can't, we need to say you can. We need to impart wishbones into our children. You know, if you study the Old Testament, they did something. That the parents did something in the Old Testament that, by the way, Jewish parents still do today. You say, Pastor Benny, What is that that they did in the Old Testament that Jewish parents still do to this very day? They bless their children. They bless their children. Now, what was involved in blessing your children? Number one, a meaningful touch. A meaningful touch. Just touching and just caressing and just expressing your love. It's a meaningful touch. Not only was meaningful touch involved in the blessing, but spoken words. Because death and life's in the power of the tongue. Henry Ford said, whether you say you can or you can't, you're correct. Meaningful touch, spoken words, and then attaching high value. Attaching high value. Let me tell you something. When I call my daughter, I say, listen, how's the prettiest girl in the world doing? How's the smartest girl in the world doing? Yeah, you graduated Vanderbilt and you was the smartest one at that school. Yeah, you got to attach high value to your children. And you should believe that. Attach high value because they are valuable. And then you picture a special future for them. You picture a special future for them. By the way, Jesus blessed the children. Jesus blessed the children. You study Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. And you'll see where Jesus took children up and he blessed them. Teach your children to shoot for the moon. Even if they miss, they'll land among the stars. Amen? Teach them to shoot for the moon. Teach them there's nobody like you. Encourage your children. The Bible exhorts us to do that in Colossians 3 and 21. It says, don't provoke them to anger. And let me make this statement. This is not the message. You know, it's wrong to get angry. It really is. It's wrong to get angry. By the way, that's something I struggle with. You say, you're the preacher. I can't help it. I still struggle with it. But did you know the Bible speaks more against provoking somebody to anger than it does getting angry? It speaks more. I believe it's more wrong to provoke somebody to anger than to get angry. That is to say, if you know something bothers somebody, why do you go there? Amen. There's a story there. Anyway. But you know, it says don't provoke your children to anger. But what it says, he says, because if you do, they get discouraged. You know, if I have an opportunity to read a book on leadership or an autobiography, I read the autobiography. Because I think you can learn a lot from people, decisions they made and why they made the decisions. I remember years ago, I was reading this book about a guy named Zell Miller. And Zell Miller said, he said, you know, I spoke at Madison Square Garden. He said, I've been in the Oval Office many times. I've flown on Air Force One. He said, I served as the governor of the great state of Georgia. He said, I served as a United States senator. He said, I did all that. And they said, Zell, what do you think attributed to that? Because you was raised up in the North Georgia mountains, just up there in a winding road in the mountains. He said, oh, I know what attributed to it. He said, I had a mama who every day would say to me, Zell, this is a great place. And she would say, Zell, you know why it's a great place? Because you can go anywhere in the world from right here. You can go anywhere in the world from right here. You know what we ought to tell our children? You can go anywhere in the world from right here. We ought to give our children wishbones. By the way, this is good preaching. We ought to give our children wishbones. We ought to give them some wishbones. It's, hey, I want you to take those bones with you. But not only do I want to give you a wishbone, but there's some other bones I want you to carry with you. I want you to carry some backbones with you. Some backbones. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about discipline. Due to a power outage, only one paramedic responded to the call. The house was very dark. So the paramedic asked Caitlin, a 3-year-old, will you hold the flashlight over your mother while I deliver the baby? Very diligently, Caitlin did just as she was told. And Mama had the baby, and little Connor was born. And Caitlin saw the paramedic lift him up by his little feet and pat him on the bottom, and old Connor began to cry. The paramedic then thanked Caitlin and asked the three-year-old, "What do you think about what you just witnessed? Caitlin quickly responded, "He should not have crawled up in there in the first place. Spank him again." You know what the Bible says to us in Proverbs 13 and 24? "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." It's talking about discipline. "But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." I thought, what does it mean, betimes? That we ought to discipline betimes. This is what it means. Start early. Start early. You said, "But Pastor, she's a little angel." Yes, but as her legs get longer, her wings will get shorter. Yes, you have to discipline. Somebody said, "Pastor, I just want to be my child's best friend." No. They'll go through a host of best friends. Just got one daddy. Just got one mama. You don't need to be best friend, Mom. Well, people are asking, "Are we mother and daughter? Are we sisters?" You're an airhead. You don't need to be a sister. You need to be a mother. You need to be a mother. She'll go through all kind of best friends, but she just have got one mom. She's just got one dad. That's why you need to be the parent. That's why you need to give that child some backbone. You know, the Bible never talks about punishing children. This may surprise you. It never talks. Because when you punish someone, you inflict a penalty. But when you discipline someone, you promote growth. See, we punish criminals, but we discipline children. In 1 Samuel 3:13, God rebuked Eli because he didn't discipline his sons. It's a serious thing, folks, when we don't discipline. It's a serious thing when we don't give our children backbones. The Bible teaches us that if we'll discipline our children, it will do three things in our children's life. Benny Tate didn't say this. The Bible says this. Number one, by the way, the devil will lie to you in this area. Amen. The devil will tell you, if you discipline your children, they won't love you. You hear me closely. 90% of graduating seniors said they wish their parents had loved them enough to have disciplined them more. When you discipline a child, it shows a child that you love them. Look what the scripture says. "For whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines." You know why God disciplines us? Because he loves us. You know why we should discipline our children? Because we love them. Tell you the second thing that discipline does. Discipline teaches a child respect. Maybe, folks, I stayed in the hills of Tennessee too long. But what's wrong with saying yes, sir? What's wrong with saying yes, ma'am? What's wrong with saying please? What's wrong with saying thank you? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with teaching a child respect? You say, "Well, I want to teach my child respect." You better discipline them. I know it's quiet this morning, but let me tell you something. You can't sow seed when it's windy. I'm okay. I'm going to preach on anyway. You say, "Well, I may just get up and walk out, and everybody will know I'm loading your wagon." Look what the scripture says. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. Look, they corrected us, and what did we do? We gave them reverence. We gave them respect. Let me tell you what discipline will do in your child. It teaches your child respect. I'll tell you the third thing it will do. It'll teach your child to do what's right. Look what Hebrews 12 and 11 says. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. When I came along, there was only one kind of discipline, and that's all I'll say. And when they were disciplining me, they would say, "This is hurting me worse than it's hurting you." And I'm thinking, my God, don't hurt yourself so much. For the present, it's seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, but wait. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Let me tell you what discipline will do. It'll teach your child to do what's right. I don't know which son it was, but Billy Graham had a son that spit on him, the great Billy Graham. Can you imagine? The great Billy Graham had a son who spit on him one time. And Billy Graham said this. He said, "I'm not telling you what I did to my child. I'm not telling you what I did to him. But," he said, "I am telling you this. If he grows up to chew tobacco, he'll swallow the juice." You know what we need to give our children? We need to give them wishbones. I pray they take some backbone with them. But not only wishbone and backbones, we should give them ankle bones. We should give them ankle bones. And what I mean by ankle bones, we just need to walk through life with them. Presence won't ever replace your presence. Columbia University said that the presence of a mom and dad has more impact in a child's life than anyone else. What to just walk through life with them? What to just be there? Be there for what they're going through. Not much more is important than just having ankle bones and said, "No, I want to be there for you. I want to walk through life with you. I want to be there." Kirk Douglas, most of you would not even know who that is, who he is. He died this year, 103. Kirk Douglas was a famous actor. And when he died, I just started reading a little bit about Kirk Douglas. And he's the father, if you've ever heard of the actor Michael Douglas, he's the father of Michael Douglas. And Kirk Douglas said that, "I had a dad." He said he was always distant. He said, "Dad was always distant. He was always cold." He said, "He never came to any functions that I had. He was never there." And said, "Never had much of a relationship with Dad. Never expressed that he loved me. Never told me that he was proud of me." But he said, "When I was in high school, I was in this play. And," he said, "Dad came. The only time Dad ever came. And," he said, "I saw Daddy. And after it was over," he said, "I wanted so desperately my Daddy to say, 'I'm proud of you, boy. You did good.'" He said he never said that. But he said, "I'll tell you what he did do. He said, 'Boy, let's go get an ice cream cone. Boy, let's go get an ice cream cone.'" And he said, "My daddy and I went and got this ice cream cone. And he spent time with me after that performance. And," he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "That 5-cent ice cream cone means more to me than any Oscar I ever won." Here's all I'm saying. We ought to have ankle bones. Say, "No, I'm going to be in your life. I'm going to be in your education. If you're involved in it, I'm going to be involved in it." Well, folks, we ought to give our children some wishbones. We ought to give them some backbones. We ought to give them some ankle bones. But I'm done. Almost. We ought to give them some jawbones. Jawbones. I remember At Jaws, what moves? At Jaws, the mouth. I remember Barbara and I were praying about a baby, and we wanted to have a child. And what I would say to that family that wants to have a child, don't give up, just keep praying. Don't you give up, just keep praying. Barbara and I had were married for 9 years before we had a child. Don't give up, just keep praying. Used to be an old preacher. His name was Ed Ballou. He was an Indian preacher. And he would come by the house, and he would lay hands on me, and he'd lay hands on Barbara, and he'd pray that we could have a baby, and God would give us a baby. And God gave us one. And I said, Barbara, there ain't but one person to dedicate this baby. That's that old Indian preacher, Ed Ballou. Ed was a big, tall, lanky preacher. He had fingers. I bet they were that long. And that morning, he dedicated Savannah Abigail. He took that big, long finger from the pulpit and stuck it out. He was like, he touched my nose. And Ed said, Benny, don't you just pray for this girl. You pray with this girl. I never forgot that. Don't you just pray for her. You pray with her. Not just for her. You pray with her. Now here's what I want you to understand. Your children may not always listen to you. I wish they would. Your children may not always listen to you. But I want you to know something. God always will. That'd be a good tweet. Your children may not always listen to you, but God always will. And I'm done with this. But there's four things that I pray for my child every day. And I want to encourage you perhaps to start praying these very same things. Four things I pray for. Number one, I pray for her protection. See, the scripture says this, and I pray this scripture. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Literally, look, that word form means specifically designed. The enemy knows your child's weakness. The enemy knows your child's personality. The enemy knows your child's flaws. The enemy knows your child's insecurities. Specifically designed. That's why I pray that prayer. God, let that weapon that's specifically designed against my daughter, let it not prosper. And then I pray Matthew 18:10. God, with those innumerable angels, you've got one who's designed for my daughter. Do you realize your child, this pretty redhead right here on the front row, this pretty redhead right here, I want you to know something. There's an angel that's watching over you and protecting you every day of your life. Because every pretty girl, there's an angel that's watching over you and protecting you every day of your life. Pretty girl, there's got to be some ugly boys in here, but look here. Pretty girl, there's an angel that's watching over you and protecting you every day of your life, according to Matthew 18:10. And what you need to pray every day, God, I pray your protection on my children. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, I pray your protection, God. I can't be with them, God. I can't do it, but you can. And then you pray submission. You say, what do you mean you pray submission over your children? Look, Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Here's what you pray. Listen closely. God, I pray your will. That's right. for my child. Wait. This gets real personal with your pastor. This gets real personal. Not their will, but God, I pray your will. Now, here's what I've had to say. I'm going to be honest with you. This is when it's been a little tough on Preacher Benny. Not my will, but your will, God. Not my will for my child, but your will for my child. That's tough. Daddy has a tendency and propensity to think he always knows what's best. But I don't, God. So I don't pray my will, God. I pray your will. And I pray protection. And I pray submission that my child will submit to your will. Because your will is what's best for your child. Then the third thing I pray is, I just pray for health. I just pray for health. And there's a verse I use. It's in Jeremiah 30 and 17. I'll restore health unto thee. Look. I'll heal thee of thy wounds. True story. 2 weeks ago on Monday, our daughter calls and tells her mother, Mama, there's a rising, there's a sore that's came up on me. I'm going to the doctor Thursday. She didn't know that every day I pray, Jeremiah, for I will restore health unto thee. I'm going to heal thee of thy wounds. And Barbara calls her and said, did you go to the doctor? She said, I didn't have to. I don't know what happened, Mama. It just disappeared. Oh, glory be to God. I know what happened. I know what happened. I know what happened because God hears and answers prayer. God hears and answers prayer. And then there's the last thing that I pray. I pray for my child's future. I pray for her future. Let me give you the three verses that I pray. These are the verses I pray. I pray Psalms 23 and 6. God, let goodness and mercy follow her all the days of her life. I pray Jeremiah 29 and 11. God, prosper her. You're not going to harm her. God, you're going to give her a hope and you're going to give her a future. I pray that verse every day. And then I pray Philippians 1 and 6. God, being confident of this very thing, that you which began a good work in her, you're going to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I want my child to take some bones with her. I want my child to take some bones. And you do too. You said, but Pastor Benny, I got to be honest with you. Those bones are dead. Those bones are dead. Those bones are dead in my child's life. Well, Ezekiel chapter 37 said something. I know it's talking about the nation of Israel. But it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And he carried me in the spirit. And set me in the midst of a valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were so many in this open valley, and they were just dry bones. And he said unto me, son, can these bones live again? And I said, oh, Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, you prophesy over these bones and say unto them, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And then verse 10 says, so I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't you give up on them bones. Don't you give up on the bones that you've imparted into your children. Those bones are going to live again. You just keep praying. You just keep trusting God. You just keep praying. You just keep trusting God. It's amazing what God would do. Listen, your children may not always listen to you, but God will always listen to you. And I believe when we take our hands off, we just bombard heaven. We just talk to God. It's amazing what He'll do.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.